Angrily, hot tears running down my cheeks. There's little to no cell phone service here, so I have to walk to try to get some. My toe is throbbing and my heart hurts. When did my life go so wrong? I had it all worked out. I was dating. I was getting ready to go to school. I was finding my happiness. And then Shy died, and everything spiraled out of control. I tilt my head up to the sky and I scream, "Why did you go and fucking die, Shy? Why? You left so much destruction behind. You left people broken. They blame me, you know. It's my fault. I was the one who brought Spike home. They don't smile anymore. He doesn't smile anymore. Why did you have to go and fuck everything up? You always were so selfish. Everything had to go your way. I had a life. I was in college. I was going to meet a nice man and be happy, but then you went and died. Now everything is fucked up. Everything is broken. And here I am on the side of the road because I can't afford gas. Damn you, Cheyenne. Damn you!" I'm screaming so loudly I miss the sound of the Harley Davidson. When I lower my head, I see him. The light from his bike illuminates him, and he just stands there, arms crossed, watching me scream at nothing. Of course he'd be the fucking one to stop, of course! Tears blur my vision, but I can see the pain in his face, even through them. My heart hammers, and I hate that he's seen me like this, vulnerable, angry, and alone. He continues to see the weak parts of me. My breathing is heavy. My chest rises and falls dramatically. It takes me a moment to calm myself enough to speak, and when I do, it comes out as a broken rasp. "Fuck off, Spike! I don't need you here."
"What the fuck are you doing out here alone at this time of the night?"
he says, his voice raspy too. "My car ran out of gas," I scream at him, "because you and your friends trashed the bar and I had to pay for it. I can't even afford to put fucking gas in my car." I laugh now, but it's not a happy, cheerful laugh. It's a broken go-figure laugh. Spike's eyes scan my body as if checking for injury. His eyes settle on the leg I'm lifting just slightly off the ground because it hurts so badly.
"You're hurt."
"I kicked my car. It's fine."
"Get on the bike and I'll take you home."
"Fuck you," I hiss. He crosses his arms.
"Swear at me as much as you like. I ain't leaving you here alone."
"Why do you keep coming to my rescue, Spike? You don't even like me. Stop wasting my time and yours. Just leave me alone."
"I wasn't coming to your rescue. I was riding past and saw a car with the doors open and no one in it. Didn't know it was yours till I heard you screaming."
"Whatever. I'm going to call Cade or Addison. I don't need your help."
"Cade and Addie are out of town."
"Well, I'll call Jackson."
"What for? I'm already here."
I throw my hands up and snarl. "Because I don't want you here. Because I don't want to go anywhere near you. Because I fucking hate you, Danny." He jerks, and his eyes widen, as though I have slapped him across the face. He's shocked. "Well, good. I don't care anymore. I'm sick of fucking caring for someone who just refuses to see it." He's so determined to push me away. "This is all your fault," I continue, my voice sounding choked up. "It's all your fault. Yours and hers. You two were so selfish. You never thought of anyone else. I have no home, no family, because they don't want me in their lives because I'm not good enough. Because I'm not Cheyenne."
"I'm not the only fucking selfish one. You are too, Kira. You fucked off. You never even gave me a motherfucking chance. We were friends, and you fucked me over as much as I fucked you over."
"We were never friends," I bellow. "I was just a way to get to Cheyenne. You fucked me to get to Cheyenne."
"That's fucking bullshit," he roars. "It's fucking bullshit. I cared about you long before she came into the picture. What do you call all those times we spent together? I didn't fucking know her then. We were friends before her, and it didn't fucking matter to you when you stood in that courtroom and told the judge I was a piece of shit."
"You are," I scream, shaking. You are such an asshole, Spike. You saw her, and suddenly I didn't matter. We were friends, you're right. But that didn't matter to you when you fucked me to get back at her.
That's not the only motherfucking reason I did it.
He snarls, clenching his fists. Really? Well, why did you do it then? Did you feel like popping a fucking cherry?
I did it, 'cause I fucking wanted to. I didn't fucking know you were a fucking virgin. God damn it, Kira. You think you know every fucking thing.
You're such a liar. You lie so much you forget what it is you started lying about. Don't you dare try and tell me you didn't know I was a virgin. You knew I wasn't seeing anyone. We were friends for years. You knew.
I didn't fucking know.
I storm towards him, only to realize my foot is still throbbing. I trip as soon as my weight falls on it, and I stumble, going ass over head into the dirt, hurting my toe further. That does it for me. I scream angrily and pummel my fists into the dirt. I am so sick of this hurt. So sick of feeling like everything is because of me. Everything is my fault. Everything that went wrong is on me. I was never enough for you, I rasp. I cared about you. Fuck, Spike. I loved you. But you didn't fucking see me. You just saw her. I was never pretty enough. Never good enough. I couldn't compare. You didn't even kiss me, do you know that? You fucked me. You put your tongue in my pussy, your mouth on my breasts. But you didn't fucking kiss me. Not once. That's how much respect you showed me that night. None. He takes an angry step forward and reaches down, gripping my shoulders and hurling me up so I'm flat against him. The emotion between us right now is huge. It's consuming me, making my heart hurt, making my head ache. I hate that I want him so much. I love that I have him right now. I fucking love and hate everything that's happening.
That what this is fucking about? That I never fucking kissed you?
It's about so much more. But you can't fix what you did now. It's done.
Can't fix that. Can fix this.
He leans down and his lips are on mine before I can protest. My mouth opens as a strangled gasp leaves it. I flinch, and a flood of warmth travels through my veins, making my entire body feel like it's on fire. I shudder as he presses his mouth harder against mine. His lips are soft and full, his body large and firm as he presses himself against me. My hands are limp beside me. I can't move. I'm like a rag doll in his arms. His tongue finds mine, and fireworks explode in my head. I'm almost sure I see stars. Then suddenly my hands come to life, and I thrust them into his hair, tugging him closer. My mouth is devouring his, my tongue dancing with his in hungry, angry strokes. He growls and presses a hand to my lower back, pressing my body up against his hard erection. I untangle one of my hands from his hair and run it down his firm back. I slip it under his shirt and feel his hot, hard skin. It's taut, and his muscles bunch as I slide my fingers up, feeling every inch of his muscled flesh. Then his mouth is off mine, and I'm stumbling backwards. He's reeling backwards just as quickly, his eyes confused. He's panting so heavily I can see his chest is rapidly rising and falling. His eyes are wild, like he's just made a huge mistake. I press my fingers to my swollen lips. Did that just happen? Did Spike just kiss me? I've never been kissed like that in my entire life. Not once. That kiss. It was a kiss of passion. It was real, beautiful, gut-wrenching, soul-shattering. But mostly, it was mind-fucking. What did it mean? Spike's fists are clenched, and his eyes are a mix of anger and lust.
Now we're even. Get on the bike, he rasps.
He just kissed me to make it even? My heart falls. Everything in my world stops as pain washes through my chest. I don't want to go with you, I whisper.
Get on the fucking bike. So help me God, I'll fucking put my hand to your ass, Kira.
His voice is like ice. Swallowing, I struggle to step forward, but all I manage is a wince of pain. Growling, Spike steps closer, and I expect him to hurl me forward and hurt me even further. But instead, he scoops me into his arms, gently. He carries me up to his bike and puts me on the back. I stare down at my clothes. I'm covered in dirt. Spike thrusts a helmet at me, and with shaky hands, I put it on. He walks over to my car, closing it and locking it, before climbing onto the bike in front of me. I wrap my arms around him, not wanting any more arguing, and we speed off into the night, both of us no doubt as confused as the other. We pull up out front of my house, and I quickly climb off the bike. I'm limping quite heavily right now, but all I can think about is the pain in my heart. I'm surprised when Spike gets off the bike, too. He has no reason to be here with me, and I don't understand why he feels the need to continue to pretend like he does. He doesn't want to be here. I know that as well as he does. I don't want his pity just because my sister would want him taking care of me. I'm no one's charity case, especially not someone that is being forced to look out for me because of guilt.
You need to let me look at that foot.
I stop hobbling towards my door and turn, staring at him.
Why?
He crosses his arms and throws his leg over the bike before striding towards me.
'Cause it's my fault you ran out of gas in the first place. So I'm going to make sure you're okay before I leave. Don't bother fucking arguing with me, Kira. It won't change my mind.
I open my mouth to argue but quickly close it again. The look on his face is that of threat. He's not going to back down. With a deep, defeated sigh, I turn and continue hobbling towards the door. I unlock it and step inside. Spike follows close behind me. I head into the kitchen, desperate for a hot drink and some painkillers. I hear Spike stop walking and turn to see him staring at a picture of Cheyenne and I after they were married. I think it was one of their anniversary parties. It was, without a doubt, the hardest day of my life. Seeing the man who stole my heart, celebrating his love with another woman is something I could never live through again. But I did it. For her.
Remember that day,
he says, his voice gruff. Yeah, I say in a small, weak voice. Me too. Our eyes meet for a moment, but I quickly turn back to the boiling water.
You need to sit so I can look at your foot.
I'm fine, it's...
Sit the fuck down,
he barks. I turn, giving him a glare. He crosses his arms, narrowing his eyes and challenging me, just daring me to argue. I need to shower and...
Sit now.
Growling, I hobble over to the lounge and sit down. Spike kneels in front of me and grips my foot, slipping off my shoe. He raises it and inspects it. I can see it swollen and purple. Great. Just what I need right now. Something else to stop me from working.
Looking like it could be a fracture, or at the least, badly bruised. You need to keep this up for a few days.
You can't be serious, I cry. I have a job I need to get to.
Well, you ain't going to it.
I start to cry. It's pathetic, but I can't help it. Big, fat tears stream down my cheeks. Damn it! Why does this keep happening?
Aw, shit. Spike grunts. Don't start crying.
Can you just leave? I snap through my tears. Just go and leave me the hell alone.
Hey, he growls. Look at me.
I keep my eyes directed at my lap.
Now, Tomcat.
Hearing him call me Tomcat has shudders racking my body. It's been so long, and the swell of emotion in my chest is nearly too much. But I lift my face, meeting his gaze.
I might not be a great person, but I'm not enough of a fucking prick to leave a girl who is hurt because of me. I also won't let her take the fucked up end of the stick because of my actions. You tell me how much you need to cover you for a few days off, and I'll give it to you.
I'm not going to do that, Spike.
You don't get a choice. Give me a number, or I'll make one up.
No. Fine, he says, pulling his wallet from his back pocket. He grips a wad of cash out and thrusts it at me.
That should cover it.
I stare at the cash in my hands and gape. I wouldn't make this much in a week.
Fucking need to speak with Joe about how much he pays his girls,
he says under his breath, and then he meets my eyes again.
I fucked that bar 'cause I took the first swing. It ain't on you, and you shouldn't have to miss out 'cause of me. Take it, don't argue, and we'll both go our separate ways.
Are we ever going to be friends again, Spike? He narrows his eyes and his expression becomes hard.
Don't mistake this kindness for us being friends. I'm doing it because I fucked up. There ain't nothing more to it. You ain't ever gonna be more than an acquaintance, Kira.
Ouch. That burns. It burns me right down to my core. His words affect me in a way I wasn't prepared for, and I do the only thing I can to cover the hurt. I get angry.
Get out, Spike,
I hiss. I don't need your fucking pity. I've lived this long without your kindness, and I don't need it now. If you can't even be my friend, then do me a favor and get the fuck out of my life. I should have never trusted you, and I should have never wasted so many years of my life wanting something that was clearly never worth fighting for. I'm done, Spike. I'm done trying to fix you. You're right. There's nothing good left in you. Nothing at all. I get to my feet and I thrust the cash at him. Then I turn and walk off down towards the hall. Just as I reach it, I turn and growl.
You know where the door is.
Then I disappear into the darkness. I stand there for long moments, just listening. I hear him go. The door slams. His bike starts up. And he speeds off down the street. My chest hurts. It aches so much that I struggle to get a steady breath. I hobble back into the lounge and my eyes fall on the coffee table, and I stop breathing. My vision blurs as tears well in my eyes. A strangled gasp escapes my throat, and I grip my chest, as if that will take the pain away. There on the table is the cash. But that's not what tears my heart to pieces. It's the bracelet sitting on top of it. A bracelet made of leather, with silver beads representing friendship. A bracelet I gave Spike a long time ago. A bracelet that promised lifelong friendship. A bracelet that swore my loyalty to him. A loyalty I just broke. God. What am I fucking doing? Chapter 6. Past. Spike.
Come on, Tomcat, you're taking your sweet time, I yell out from the bottom of Kira's stairs. We're meant to be headed out to the fair, but bloody Kira's taking her sweet fucking time getting ready. As always. I lean against the railing and I run my fingers through my thick blonde hair. I really need to get rid of this. It's starting to piss me off. I just don't have it in me to look after hair this long. I peer up the stairs again. Fuck. Women can take their sweet-ass time when they want to. I'm coming, she yells. I grin. I can't help it. Kira has that thing about her. She's like sunshine and rain, all mixed in one sweet-ass package.
So, you're the motorcycle man she's been babbling about?
I hear the sweet, silky voice behind me in turn, letting my eyes fall on a very attractive girl that has to be Kira's sister, Cheyenne. She told me a lot about her, but I've not had the chance to meet her. Grinning, I take her in. She's different to Kira. She's missing those wildcat eyes, but she's equally as beautiful. She leans her hip against a nearby cabinet and lets her eyes travel down my body. Is this girl seriously checking me out right now? And you must be the sister. She gives me a devilish smile and steps forward, extending her hand.
Cheyenne. And you are?
Spike. She raises her brows. Spike? I thought your name was Danny. I'm Danny to Kira, but to everyone else, I'm Spike.
I didn't know you were so
hot, she says, letting those eyes travel over me again. I laugh huskily. Yeah, well, good genes.
I'll say, she giggles. So, tell me what your intentions are with my sister.
I snort. Ain't no intentions there, darling. She's my best friend.
Ah, so it's not a romance?
No. I fucking wish it were sometimes.
And why is that, Spike?
She purrs, sliding her tongue out and running it over her bottom lip. Fuck. Kira's sister is flirting with me, openly, not holding anything back. Wouldn't you like to know? She steps forward, running a finger down the front of my shirt. Fuck, fuck, fuck. If only Kira was this outgoing, maybe then we wouldn't be dancing around feelings that we both know are there, yet neither of us want to admit. It's the fear of losing the friendship, but fuck, it's draining. I've wanted Kira since the day I laid eyes on her. She's fucking gorgeous, inside and out. She puts me in the friend zone, though. No matter what I do, no matter how many hints I drop, she doesn't see me. I'm tired of it, and in a sense, I guess I've given up. If a friend is all I can have her as, then that's what I'll stick with. She's always going to be my girl. But I can't keep waiting.
Oh, Spike, I'd love to know.
If she is silly enough not to snap you up, I most certainly will. I don't get a chance to answer her, because I see Kira standing at the top of the stairs. I turn my gaze to her and my heart stutters. I'm not sure if it's the long, slightly curled blonde hair, the full red lips, the porcelain skin, or the yellow eyes, but fuck, she's perfect. Her blue dress gently sways around her knees as she steps down towards us. Her eyes are on Cheyenne and her face is filled with something I can't quite pick. It could be jealousy or anger. I know the two of them aren't close. Kira has told me a little bit about it. Whatever the look, it's full of emotion. When her eyes finally turn back to mine, I see a hint of betrayal.
I see you met Cheyenne, she says, though her voice is empty.
Yeah, I did.
You never told me Spike was so gorgeous, Cheyenne laughs, placing a hand on my shoulder.
I flinch.
What did you call him?
Kira asks.
Oh, didn't you know that's what everyone calls him?
Kira's eyes flash with hurt before she covers it up and shrugs.
Well, I'm glad you two met. Are we going?
I nod, extending my hand. Kira reaches down and takes it, and we turn, heading for the door.
I'll see you around, Spike. I'd love to know more about that nickname. Perhaps you'll tell me all about it next time you're here.
Cheyenne purrs again. Well, fuck. Why do I get the feeling this is going to become a complicated situation?
Present. Kira.
Hey, Tomcat. I smile as Cade comes running up to me when I'm at the compound the next day.
He grins, wide and beautiful, and wraps me in a hug. For a moment, I enjoy the comfort. I need it, more than I realized. He pulls back and looks down at me, studying my face.
You don't come here often. What's up?
I force a smile. I was just after Jackson.
He's in the main bar.
Thanks, I say, walking towards the bar. Cade falls in step beside me. How are your few days away? He nods, grinning.
Fucking sweet. Was good to get away.
I bet Addie had a good time.
Fuck yeah. She always has a good time with me. She's a fucking wildcat.
I shove him lightly and he laughs. Get your mind out of the gutter, biker. He wraps an arm around me.
Can't help it. The girl drives me crazy.
Crazy is good. He grins down at me and then spins me around to face him.
She's inside, Go and say hello to her when you're done with Jax, yeah?
I nod. Yeah.
You all good?
I nod, forcing a smile. I'm good.
I'll catch you later, Tomcat.
I watch Cade turn and walk off, and then with a shake of my head, I walk inside. The bar is quiet for a Thursday. It's usually filling up with bikers by now. Addison is at the bar drying a batch of glasses. I wave to her when she looks up, and her eyes brighten. I can't help the smile that stretches across my face. If anyone in the world understands pain, it's Addie. She's got a vibe about her that screams survivor. Yet at the same time, it screams warmth and friendship. She's definitely someone you want in your life. Hey, Kira.
Hey, Addie,
I say, walking over and stopping at the long wooden bar. I lean my hip on it. How's it going? She drops the dishcloth and sighs.
Pretty good. Sick of work.
I nod in understanding.
I know what you mean. It's my first day off in ages.
Are you getting paid again?
I narrow my eyes. How did you know about that?
Spike told Cade. I feel my brows raise now.
Spike and Cade speak?
They have been,
yeah.
It's a slow process, but it's happening.
That makes me happy, for both of them. They deserve to find that friendship again. I imagine it would never be quite the same, but something is better than nothing at all. I'm happy for them, I say, fiddling with the end of the dishcloth. And, yeah, I'm getting paid again. Spike gave me some money anyway, but I'm going to give it back.
Now Addie's brows raise. You and Spike have been talking?
We've been arguing, more like it, but
yeah.
I think I heard him the other night. Addie turns, storming around the bar and stopping in front of me. She grips my shoulders and pulls me towards a table, shoving me down. She sits on the chair over from me, puts her elbows on the table, face in hands, and leans forward.
Spill. Like, now.
I laugh nervously. It's nothing, Addie. Just the usual Spike and Kira bullshit.
Oh, you are such a liar. Now spill, or I'll force it out of you using whatever means possible.
I giggle and roll my eyes at her. And then I lean forward, too. We've been talking a little more, and slowly we've been hashing some things out. Last night my car ran out of gas, and well, Spike was the one who stopped for me. We got into this massive fight, and he kissed me, I blurt out quickly. Addie's eyes widen, and she grins, big and beautiful.
Spike kissed you?
It's not what you think. I was yelling at him because he never kissed me when he took me that night all those years ago, and so he kissed me to make it even. It meant nothing to him, I can assure you. Addie puts her head in her hands and groans, and then she meets my gaze again.
Honey, you can't see it, can you? Spike is freaking head over heels for you.
I snort. No, he's not. Trust me. He might have had feelings in the past, but they're long gone now.
Oh, God. You two are so bloody stubborn.
Trust me when I say his angry reaction is because he cares so much.
Spike isn't the type of man to react angrily to just anyone.
He's the type who reacts out of emotion and, trust me, honey, he feels something when he's around you. That's why he's trying so hard to push you away.
Is Addison right?
Or is she just clutching at straws to find some sort of explanation so he won't break my heart?
Either way, I say, my voice low and croaky.
He's not about to give in anytime soon. He gave me the bracelet back. That means I hurt him.
God, Addie, I said some really mean things last night.
What bracelet?
She asks, confusion washing over her pretty features.
A long time ago, I gave him a bracelet. It was kind of like a promise to always have each other's backs, to always be there for each other. I spat mean words at him last night and he left, but he left the bracelet on the coffee table.
Can I be honest with you, Kira? Addie says, her face serious.
Of course you can.
Look, I know a great deal went down between you and Spike, and half of it I'll probably never know or understand. But what I'm seeing here is two people determined to blame one another for things that went wrong, yet not one of them is willing to say sorry.
You're looking for Spike to take away the hurt he caused you, but what about his hurt? I hang my head because she's right. Spike deserves my apology, just as much as I deserve his. I know you're right, but every time we get together, we just end up blaming each other instead of dealing with what happened and moving on. Are you in love with him, honey? I flinch. How can I love someone who hates me so much? Easily. Now answer the question. My heart begins to hammer. I hate the question because it rips out so many emotions inside me. I can't think when she's asking me to bare my soul to her. Once upon a time, I adored Spike. I'm fairly sure he was the first man who taught my heart how to love, even though I never admit it to him. Now, though, when I think of him, I am torn. I feel so much for him, yet at the same time my hurt overrides real feelings. I close my eyes, sucking in a rugged breath. If I admit what's in my heart, deep down behind everything, then I'm changing the way I think about everything. But if I keep it locked down, I continue on this path of denial. Yes. My voice comes out as a croaky whisper. It's the best I can muster up. I clench my eyes closed harder until they hurt. Addison will never realize what admitting that is doing to me inside. She will never realize that now I have said it, I will never walk away from it. I feel her fingers glide over my hand and she tugs it into her grip. For a long while we just sit like that, me with my head down and eyes closed, and her holding my hand, occasionally running her thumb over it. When I finally look up, I've managed to fight the tears and am holding strong. Addison meets my gaze. She gives me a gentle smile. I know how hard it is to admit you have feelings for someone like Spike, but now you've done it. You can move forward.
There is no forward,
I say, in a small broken voice.
I fucked it all up.
No, you haven't. You can fix this, Kira. You just have to be willing to admit you were wrong, too.
I still don't know if it's enough. I don't know if I can be second best.
You're not second best. You know that. It's not like you were both presented to him and he picked one. He thought you didn't want any more than friendship. Eventually, he was going to move on and stop waiting, honey. It just so happened that he moved on to your sister.
I know.
Give it a few days. Then try and talk to him again. Approach it differently.
I lift my hand, running it through my hair and letting out a deep sigh. God, why can't I just find a normal man?
Addie giggles. They're never normal, honey. Kira?
I hear Jackson's voice and turn to see him striding into the bar. I came to apologize to him for being so rude the other night.
I turn and flash Addie a quick smile before standing and walking towards Jackson. When we reach each other, we both stop. He gives me a smile like my angry mood the other evening didn't bother him at all. Jackson is such a sweet man. I really don't know how he manages to run a club full of bikers.
Hey, Jackson. I just wanted to come in and apologize for the other night. It was wrong of me to snap at you like that.
He offers me his arm. Walk with me.
I hook mine through his, and as we pass Addie, he leans down and kisses her head. She flashes him a grin and then returns to the bar. Jackson and I walk through the halls until we reach the front door. He leads me out and we sit on a couple of old chairs beside the front door.
You know I ain't pissed at you, Kira,
he says, turning to face me. He rests his big hands on his knees and his green eyes meet mine. I know, but it was still wrong of me to behave like that all the same. I shouldn't have spoken to you like that just because I was pissed off at Spike.
He shrugs his shoulders.
You were hurting. I can't be angry at you for that.
I was hurt he came to you to get rid of me, like I was just a massive pain in his side. But in the end, that was on him. It wasn't on you.
Spike's in a bad place right now. He was doing it to protect you.
How so? I ask, crossing my legs.
Can't give you that kind of information, but But I can tell you, it wasn't out of hate that he did it.
What is Spike up to? Jackson might not be willing to tell me, but my interest is sparked. Either way, I'm sorry for speaking to you the way I did. Jackson nods.
It's all good. You know, we've always got your back, Kira.
I smile. Yeah, I know.
Anyway, he says, standing, I gotta run. You take care, Kira.
I beam up at him. He flashes me that award-winning smile before disappearing. I sit on the chair for a long while, thinking about Jackson's words. What could Spike be up to that would make him feel the need to keep me away so I'm protected? I would like to think Spike wouldn't put himself in danger after what happened with Cheyenne, but I wouldn't put it past him. My guess is he's seeking revenge, and knowing Spike the way I know him, he'll get it, and it won't be pretty. Past. Spike.
Things are going south fast, and I can't find a way to pick it all back up again. Kira is growing cold towards me, and her sister is throwing herself at me. I know it's causing big problems between them, but fucks me if I can stop it. Kira has had a chance, and she won't take it. Fuck if she can't see how much I fucking adore her. Then it's because she doesn't want to see it. If she doesn't want to see it, then what's the point in fighting to try and change it? I can't keep fighting. I'm tired of fucking fighting. Then Cheyenne comes along and the girl is all over me, wanting me the way I wish her sister wanted me. I guess the selfish part of me is grateful to get a tiny piece of Kira, even if it is through Cheyenne.
You know, Cheyenne says, as I wait out front to take Kira to work one morning, I'd love a ride on your bike.
Didn't take you as the motorbike kind of girl, I say, lighting up a smoke.
I didn't either. But if it's you I'm holding on to, I wouldn't mind.
I raise my brows and she grins at me. Damn girl is attractive. I'll give her that much. Yeah, well, might have to take you for a spin.
Fuck, what am I doing? I should be fucking walking away, I know this. Yet here I am, angry that Kira can't see how I feel, and taking it out on her by chatting up her sister. How about now?
Can't, babe. Got to take Kira to work.
Well, how about after?
She says, stepping closer. Fuck. Yeah, all right. She beams and it's getting to me. It's getting to me because she's a beautiful girl, and that's what happens when beautiful girls decide they want something. Kira comes down the front stairs and fuck, she looks good. Tight black pants, a tiny singlet, and them smokin' black boots she loves so much. Her hair is up on top of her head, in that messy thing girls do, and a pair of sunglasses covers her eyes. She's fucking smokin'. I don't know how she doesn't have a trail of men behind her at all times. She sees Cheyenne next to my bike and I notice that her body stiffens. She pulls on a smile, though, and walks over to me.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Tomcat. Ready?
I am.
She takes the helmet I hand her and she lifts it, bringing it down over her head. Cheyenne leans in close and fuck, she smells like some sort of sweet flower.
I'll be here when you're done. I'm going to be waiting. Don't you stand me up, Spike?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Kira flinches a little, but she says nothing.
I pull the throttle and the bike lunges forward. Kira wraps her tiny arms around my waist and we ride to work. Sometimes I'm thankful that we can't speak on the bike, because I have no doubt she would have a great deal to say if she had a chance. When we pull up at the bar she's working at, she gets off the bike and pulls the helmet off. She hands it to me and I take it, wanting to say something, but not knowing how.
You and Cheyenne going to be seeing each other? She asks, her voice small.
No. I just told her I'd give her a turn on the bike, Tomcat. She shrugs, and that fucking hurts more than she'll ever know.
It's fine. You can do whatever you want. If you want to see her, that's cool with me. I don't care.
Jesus. Could she fucking rip my heart out anymore? That's what's wrong with you lately? I ask.
No, she says softly. I'm fine.
She's lying. Fuck.
I want to reach out and shake her. Tell her that I fucking want her.
But there ain't no point. If she wanted to tell me she had feelings, she would have done it by now. You want me to pick you up?
She nods. Yeah, if you're not busy with Cheyenne.
Tomcat, I'm never going to leave you alone for anyone.
She forces that fake smile again. Later then, Danny.
Later, babe.
Then she's gone.
Fuck.
Why do I get the feeling I'm losing her?
Chapter 7. Present. Spike.
Hey, friend.
I roll my eyes as I hear Addison's voice. I just stepped into the bar and there she is, dark hair waving about as she bounds over to me like an excited puppy. I swear to God this girl would get under anyone's skin. She's kind of addictive. I don't smile at her, though on the inside I do. She stops in front of me, flashing me a beaming smile as she looks up, swiping a piece of stray hair from her face.
You know you're somewhat like an annoying dog, Precious.
I don't call anyone Precious, yet it seems to fit her well. She chuckles and hooks her arm through mine.
In a happy mood again, I see.
Aren't I always? You here to see Kira? I stiffen, and she stops, turning to look up at me. Devious little shit. She wanted that reaction.
Hit a nerve?
She smirks. I lean in close, gripping her shoulders. Remember what I said about dancing with wolves, girl?
Yeah, I know.
They bite in all that bullshit. Fucking smartass. Don't put your friend in my world, Precious. You know it ain't for her.
What I know, she says, spinning and waving down the bar attendant, is that you aren't being very nice to her. And if you don't want her in your world, you're going the wrong way about it.
Don't you know us women love a challenge? I grunt.
Fucking know it all right. Where's your old man? I'm surprised he let you out.
She laughs loudly, throwing her head back.
Yeah, well, he doesn't own me, you know?
Does fucking so.
She spins around, glaring at me.
What is with you over-possessive bikers?
What is with you stubborn-ass women?
She narrows her eyes and turns again, ordering two beers. When she's got them in her hands, she nods towards the booth. Well, fuck. I'm not escaping her anytime soon.
Funny, 'cause part of me kind of doesn't want to.
Fuck. I'm turning into a pussy. We sit down and she slides a beer across the table at me. I grip it, take a big sip, and then put it down, staring right into her eyes.
What's with you trying to push Kira onto me?
What's with you being such a fucking jerk-off about it?
I feel my lips twitch. You need to let it go, yeah?
Why? Because you're being a jerk due to the fact that you care about her, or because you don't care about her?
Fucking women.
My answer to that doesn't change the fact that she's no good for me.
Why?
Because of what happened with Cheyenne? I flinch. She continues.
Because I imagine you don't plan on spending the rest of your life alone. If you do, that's a sad and long life you're going to have.
I narrow my eyes at her.
Your point, Precious?
My point is that she cares about you a lot. She's a good person, and she could be good for you if you stop treating her like an ass.
That's the problem, I growl. She's too good for me.
Addison raises her brows and I curse inwardly. Well, fuck. I just openly admitted to Addison, and a little to myself, that I don't hate Kira, and that it goes far deeper than I am willing to let on.
Who says she's too good for you? You? Or her? Because I can guarantee it doesn't matter to her what you are.
Well, it should, I snap.
You don't have to make the same mistakes again, Spike. You can be good to her.
No, I fucking can't. Now fucking drop it, Addison, or I'll get up
and walk out.
She sighs deeply but puts up her hands.
Fine, we'll drop it.
Good. We're both silent a moment before her face brightens again and she leans forward.
You want to do karaoke with me?
I raise my brows. You fucking serious?
Oh yeah, come on. It'll be fun.
I'm a biker, I point out. We don't fucking sing.
She huffs and crosses her arms.
Do you ever smile?
Not much.
Well, I'll make you smile.
I raise one brow at her and she flashes me yet another grin before taking a big sip of her beer. Then her eyes move to the corner of the room and she brightens. She lifts her hand, waving and calling out, Kira!
Well, fuck. I thought Kira wasn't on tonight. Mother fucker.
Hey, Addie.
I hear Kira's voice behind me and my entire body stiffens. I can't sit here and be an absolute ass. I have to turn. So I slowly do. When my eyes settle on her, I want to hiss in anger. I fucking hate the outfits these girls dress in. More, I hate it on her because she can fucking rock it, and half the bar notices. Her long blonde hair is cascading down around her shoulders, and her yellow eyes fucking pull at my heartstrings. She places a hand on her flat, smooth belly and smiles over at Addison.
I thought you weren't working, Addie says. I wasn't meant to be, but Jenny called in sick.
Aw, that sucks.
Yeah. Spike?
Are you going to say hello? Addison says, smirking at me. I shoot her a truly disgusted glare, and then I look up at Kira. Hey.
Hey, Danny.
Fuck it. She knows it gets to me when she calls me Danny. She's the only person in the world who would still call me that, and it burns every time she does. Well, I'm going to get another beer, I say, standing.
I'll get it for you,
Kira says, turning and walking towards the bar. I flop back down onto my ass and watch her leave. That skirt really is too fucking short. Jesus, it puts me into a place I haven't been for a long time. It makes me want to smash every fucker that looks her way. I turn to Addison again and she's smiling over at me.
She's a nice ass, right?
Shut the fuck up, Addison.
She bursts out laughing.
Fuck. This is going to be a long night.
Present. Kira. His eyes are on me. Everywhere I go, they are on me. I can feel them burning into my back when I'm not facing him. And when I am, they're all over me, piercing into me, saying so much, showing so much. I want him. I'm sick of denying everything that's raging between us. I hurt him. I know I did. But I'm beyond trying to figure out how I can fix him. I'm so tired of fighting. I grip another round of drinks and walk them over to a table of young men. I can hear Addie's booming laugh across the bar and I can't help but smile. I'm glad to see her and Spike getting along. I've even seen him crack a smile once or twice. He needs someone like her in his life. Someone to just tell him how it is and take no shit.
Hey there, princess.
I spin around to see Muff leaning against the counter, grinning over at me.
I smile, unable to stop myself.
Hey, Muff, I say, walking around the side of the bar and pulling out a beer.
I toss it to him and he catches it.
Busy night?
You know, the usual.
Saw your boy staring at you. Still hasn't given in, I see.
I chuckle softly. He's not my boy. And no, he's as stubborn as they come.
You're telling me.
What brings you to this fine bar tonight, anyway? I haven't seen you for a few days. He cracks open the beer and takes a long swig before putting it down onto the counter.
I came here to see a fine bar bitch.
I roll my eyes at him. Most girls would be offended by that statement, but... coming from you, Muff? I think I'm flattered. He throws his head back and laughs, causing Spike to turn in his chair and stare over at us. His eyes narrow, and I give him a quick glance before turning back to Muff.
You want to know a secret, princess?
Muff says, leaning close.
I do.
come closer.
I giggle. That's kind of creepy. You're not going to kiss me, are you?
He gives me a lazy half-smile. Would it be so bad if I did?
No, of course not.
I lean in and he tilts his head so his mouth is near my ear.
Prez told me to back down.
Back down?
He told me to stay the fuck away from you.
Spike said that?
This surprises me. Maybe it's just the lifestyle he doesn't want me in, or maybe it's for his own benefit. Either way, it sends shivers up my spine. Good shivers.
He did? Oh, he did. Told me if he ever sees my lips on you again, he'll cut my dick off and feed it to me.
I raise my brows and Muff pulls back, grinning.
So go on, princess. You play him. Make it burn.
You're a bad man, Muff.
He chuckles and lifts his beer.
Thrills me being bad. I'm going to play some pool. Check you later, little lady.
Later, Muff.
When he's gone, I can't help but swing my eyes to Spike. He's not sitting any longer, and Addie is walking over to me, a massive grin on her face. I smile back at her, wondering where Spike has disappeared to. She stops at the bar, leaning over it and placing her head in her hands.
So, how's your night?
I grin at her, cheeky shit.
I'm sure it's as thrilling as yours.
She winks at me, brushing a piece of long dark hair from her eyes.
Oh, mine is totally thrilling. Spike's a hoot when he's drunk.
Where'd he go?
No idea. Outside for a smoke? He's trying to ditch me. He'll never learn.
I'm totally not going anywhere.
I laugh.
You're like the creepy stalker friend.
That's me, baby. Anyway, I do have to go.
I pout at her. That sucks. I was going to have a drink with you after my shift.
Aw. Well, how about you come around tomorrow? We'll have some drinks